You are listening to Overcomers Church International Podcast. Here at OCI, we are dedicated to our vision of building strong people and building strong churches. From wherever you are listening, we hope that this message leaves you equipped and encouraged.
So we're going to start in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This morning I talked about how to obtain a good testimony, and I think I'm going to land there, but I have a little bit of a different, a special direction I feel like the Lord wants me to go to as I kind of segue there tonight. How many of y'all want a good testimony in your life? How many of you got at least somewhat of a good testimony from the Lord already? It's getting better and better. It's getting gooder and gooder. And so one of the things, we're probably going to get into talking about Abraham a little bit tonight, but one of the things that was a mystery to me for a long time about Abraham, and to me he's, next to Jesus, might be the most important person in the Bible. There's a few other ones that might be up there with him, but Abraham, the word says that he's the father of our faith. And that, along with some other things, I had a hard time relating and understanding, like, why is the fact that he's the father of our faith so important? Because the word describes him as that. Why is it that, you know, we're descendants of Abraham through faith? Why is it that Abraham was accounted righteous, and because of that, he and Sarah birthed an entire nation that we know to be Israel? Like, all these things, I'm like, okay, how does this really relate to me? So I'm going to put it to you really, really simple and plain, and you can go do your own study. And here is the answer. Here is why Abraham, his relationship with the Lord, and his relationship towards us through faith is so important. It's because Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for, does anybody know? For righteousness. And when we think about righteousness, oftentimes we think about actions. And that can depict righteousness, but that more accurately describes our condition, the way that we're living our life. But for Abraham, it was more than just about how he was living his life. Thank God it was way more than that, because he really did some terrible things. But it was about the position that he was brought into because of his faith. It definitely was about his position because of his faith and the covenant that he had with God because he believed him. And, you know, he did so many terrible things. You know, one of the things that he did, actually he did it two times, if my memory serves me correct, and I think Jacob did the same thing, is that when they were traveling and passing through, you know, they looked at his wife and said, wow, there's a beautiful woman. And so instead of standing up and defending his wife, now there might be some customs and some different things involved with this that I don't understand, but just on a very basic level, Abraham, to save his own skin, he said, oh, this is my sister. If you'd like to have her, that's fine. And that was just so they wouldn't kill him and take his wife. I mean, imagine if you found out that I did that, you would not, with Liz, you would not consider me to be in the hall of faith. You would not consider me to be a father of faith. But the Bible says that Abraham is just that very thing. Why? It's because he believed God. It was not because he was perfect. It was because he believed God. He was far from perfect, right? And so, of course, I'm not advocating any wild stuff like that. I'm just making the point that what Abraham had was because of what God gave him and because he believed God. Very simply. That's the very simple, basic thing. And so for us, we actually have something a little bit better than Abraham, because Abraham, it was only accounted to Abraham as being righteous. He wasn't actually made righteous. Basically, what the Lord did was he put righteousness on layaway. Anybody ever use layaway before? Back in the day, that was a thing. You'd go to Target or whatever, and you'd buy your kid a bicycle. If you couldn't afford it, you'd put it on layaway and pay it off over the next year, or, you know, whatever it was, however, whatever you were buying. And so you would make payments until finally you owned that thing. So for the Lord, it was like he put it on layaway, and through the law, eventually when the law came in through Moses, it was kind of like payments were being made for thousands of years. And But the payments could never pay off. It could really never pay the righteousness. So these people that God considered righteous by faith, it was only accounted unto them as being righteous. It was really something they were looking towards. But because of that covenant, they were able to reap some of those benefits. But for now, on this side of the cross, Jesus has come in and has fully paid for righteousness. And now we have been given the gift of righteousness. We're actually made righteous. But the same principle still stands, is that we are in covenant with God because of our faith. But it's not just that we're made right with God. That is true. When we get born again, we're made right with God. But it's the position that we're seated in Him that's the blessing. And that's the thing that caused Abraham to get the things that he had, was because he believed God. So now when you look at this in light of what I just said, and the fact that Abraham was a father of our faith, it's not just about doing right, because for Abraham, it actually wasn't about doing right, because if it was, he fell and missed it severely. It was the fact that he believed in God, and God said, now you're going to come, and you're going to have the blessing that I have is now given to you because you believe me. And now we have the exact same thing, but only even better through the cross of Christ. We have a covenant with God that gives us access to all of the blessing of God. Not just salvation, all of the blessing of God. Not just to get our sins forgiven, but all of the blessing of God. Salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, peace, joy, strength, life, hope. I mean, every spiritual attribute, and really, honestly, all the natural blessing you could add in there, all of it belongs to us because of our relationship with God. All of it belongs to us. We have access to every bit of it. Because it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that he has now blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And you know, Abraham, he was, what he had, we have plus more. You know, we have this car wash. We go to this car wash down here in Farmington. We use it, you know, a couple times a week or whatever, whenever we're over here and Sundays. And so we pay a monthly subscription. Anybody use that car wash? It's actually the best car wash I've ever used. It's really phenomenal. And because we have a gravel driveway, I have the basic package. I just need to get the dirt off at a cheap price and I'm happy. And so what we do is we pay a monthly subscription and we go through and we have, like I said, the basic package. And so we have only certain benefits to it. Well, if you bump it up to like the VIP one or whatever, Marianne, we were talking about this one day, you bump it up to the next one, you get all of, we'll call it the level two package, whatever the name is. You get everything that's in that level two package plus all of the basic stuff. And then when you bump it up to, and there's four different packages, you bump it up to the third one, you pay for the third one, you know, you're paying more money. You get everything that's in the third and the second and the basic level. Now, if you go up to the four, which is like the MVP elite, super duper, gonna scrub every little bug and everything off your car and shine it and wax it, you get that one, you get everything that's in the level four package, the level three package, the level two package, and the basic package, you get all of that. What you don't do is lose the basic stuff when you pay for the more. We have the exact same thing in Christ. Jesus has come and he has paid for the deluxe package for us. Because see, there's people that will say, oh, you know, all that prosperity stuff and that blessing stuff and that healing stuff, that was just for times past. That wasn't really for us. Do you really think that God gave us a lesser deal through the blood of Christ than what he gave Abraham without shedding his blood? No way. We have everything that Abraham had plus more. And it says that Abraham was rich in gold and silver and livestock. You know that financial, monetary blessing belongs to us as part of the covenant package that we have through faith, just like Abraham had faith, through faith in the finished work of the cross. Some people say that that cheapens what Christ has done, and I just completely disagree. Because when he came and paid the price, it wasn't for us to only have just salvation. That was, I'm not saying that salvation is the least. I think it's the greatest, right? Because a lot of the other things, you know, if you don't have salvation when you die, you're in big trouble. So salvation is extremely important, but it really is the doorway in to having all of the other blessing that God wants us to have. And while we're here on this earth, God, we absolutely have access to everything that Abraham had, any of the Old Testament saints had, plus more, because the blood of Christ has officially sealed and conquered all of that for us. And now, because we're seated with him in heavenly places, when we pray, we're not coming, we're not trying to get to a place of victory, we're coming from a place of victory. We're already seated in victory in Christ. We're not trying to get there. And for those of you, especially those of you that are in the military, you would understand this, but everybody will be able to grasp this. When you understand that you're already in a place of victory, especially like on the battlefield, that kind of thing, if you can go and you can take the high ground, you can have a few amount of people hold off and hold that ground against a lot of the enemy because you have the high ground. And so spiritually, it's the exact same thing with us, is that we've taken the high ground. We have the high ground, not because we're so holy, not because we live so righteous, not because we're so perfect, not because we have this huge faith that just, you know, whatever you want to put in there, it's because of what Christ has done, and we have been seated with him far above all principalities and powers and rulers, dominions, the darkness, the devil, all of that stuff. We've been seated at that place with him, which means that we have access to everything that God wants us to have. It's fully accessible to us. Fully. There's never a time to ever say that God won't answer a prayer that of something he's already blessed us with. Is actually, it's spiritual ignorance to say that. So for somebody to say, you know, I prayed that God would heal me, and I guess he just decided not to heal me, that just comes from a place of ignorance, because the Lord has already provided healing through the atonement. And so Jesus, when he took, for example, when he took stripes on his back, he took those stripes on his back, and it was for the exact purpose of us having physical healing in our bodies. I think it could include other things other than that. If I had time, I could prove this to you from the word, but it was specifically talking about physical healing. That's the reason he bore stripes on his back. He bled so that we could have physical healing in our bodies. You know that Jesus bled a total of 8 times? 8 times. And as far as I'm concerned, there's only one that was needed for us to get to heaven, which was probably him actually being nailed to the cross. But they plucked his beard. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And there was a total of 8 times. He bled in the garden. And I think that dealt with a lot of like emotional things that he was atoning for. You see, the blood atones for things. It covers, it doesn't just cover, but it cleanses and it fixes stuff. You know, I just heard this recently, and this was so powerful. And I heard this from Reinhard Bonnke. Incredible. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but an incredible minister. And he said that natural blood can be contaminated. And so like when we have children, you know, we pass on, specifically the father will pass on, you know, blood, and things, you know, are moved in that direction through procreation or whatever. And he said, the reason the blood of Jesus is so powerful is because Jesus, he was not from an earthly seed. You know, we talk about the blood of Jesus, but I don't think that we really sometimes think about why it's so powerful. It's because the literal blood that was running through the veins of Jesus was the blood of God. It wasn't of man. Now, Mary obviously was human, and so she was carrying Jesus, but Mary became impregnated because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. That's how she became pregnant. It was the blood of God that was running through her veins. And Jesus was born from the heavenly father, was his biological father, if you could say it that way. Truly, that's really how it worked. And so you talk about the power that's in the blood of Jesus. There's more power in the blood of Jesus than what we will ever know on this side of heaven. It is enough. And the blood was the blood of our covenant. And when that blood was shed, and we walked into that covenant with the Lord through the blood of Jesus, everything that blood could ever touch, any place that it's ever applied, is more than enough to pay for every sin, every shame, every sickness, every defeat, every loss, every brokenness. The blood of Jesus is more than enough to cover it. Hallelujah. So let's look here at Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's look at a couple things here. Everybody doing all right? So in verse 1, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. You know what? We could just pray that right now in Jesus' name, physically and spiritually. We're believing for the salvation redemption of Israel. And then he goes on and he says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness," notice this, it says that they are ignorant of God's righteousness. These are the people that have carried the law, the prophets, and everything that had to do with God. They were the ones on the earth that anybody would have had to go to really understand anything that anybody had to know about God. And it says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." So he's saying they're seeking after righteousness, but they're seeking after their own righteousness, and it's not that which comes from God. In verse 4, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." You know, I've been preaching this stuff for a lot of years, and I have a couple different people that will communicate with me. Nobody here, nobody in Perryville. Well, they're in Perryville, but they don't come to the church. And they're always wanting to try to convince me of my need for keeping the law. And they'll text me things like Shabbat Shalom, don't eat pork, you know, whatever, numerous different things. And of course, they say you need the blood of Jesus, but you also got to do these other things. And I'm thinking, have you ever read the book of Galatians? You know why the book of Galatians was written? It was written to people that had been saved under Paul's ministry, but then these other people came in and said, "Oh yeah, you need to receive Jesus, but if you don't get circumcised, you really aren't right with God. You got to add some of these other things in there." You know what that is? That's mixing law and grace together. Paul uses this analogy in Galatians chapter 5, and he compares Sarah, the free woman, the woman of promise, and Hagar, the bondwoman, the woman of the flesh. He compares them to law and grace. And he said, just like the bondwoman had to leave, so cast out the bondwoman amongst you. He's talking about the actual law of Moses saying it doesn't belong in your midst for righteousness' sake. Now, Paul told Timothy, he said, you can use the law, just make sure you use it lawfully. How do you use the law lawfully? First of all, everything in the law points to Jesus. Everything from Genesis to Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course, all of that points to Jesus. You can find Jesus all through the Bible. Also, if you find a self-righteous person, you can take, and this was really, in my estimation, the main point of the law, you can go back and you could say, oh, you think you're so holy. Let's read Leviticus a little bit. Let's read Deuteronomy. Let's see God's standard for holiness, and you're going to find out that you're really not as holy as what you thought you were. Because the Lord gave such, if I could use the word egregious or steep demands on people, that his point was is that they would go, God, I can't measure up to this level. I can't get there. And I can only, Lord, you have to help me. That's what the Lord was looking for with the law. But now you have some ignorant people still to this day, the same ones that Paul was writing to, the same type of people that Paul was writing to here in Romans are the same type of people we find today. And I keep finding the need to keep reiterating to people that you do not need the law for justification's sake. The law was there to point people to their need for a savior, and ultimately it was a type and shadow of Jesus. But see, once you have the real thing, you don't need the type and shadow anymore. And you say, were you telling us that we're supposed to break the law? No, I'm telling you not to be bound by the law. Because when you try to find righteousness in your doing, then you have become underneath of the law, and you actually have found yourself underneath of a curse. Because anybody that tries to keep the law is actually living under a curse, because they don't believe that their blessing is given to them or is attainable or is they're in good standing unless they're doing certain things. And what I'm telling you is that Abraham had righteousness because he believed. And the Bible tells us that we have righteousness because we believe. It's never because of law keeping. Don't let anybody ever fool you or duke you. And dupe you. Duke is a university. Probably the name of someone's dog too, but don't let anyone dupe you into believing that you have to have some, put up your dukes too, right? Don't let somebody make you believe that you have to do something to be in right standing with God or to have any of the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord comes to us by faith, period. He even, speaking of dogs, if you go into, I think it's Philippians chapter something, also in Colossians chapter 2, he talks about beware. I think Philippians says, beware of dogs, beware of the mutilators, beware of the ones that come in and tell you, you got to do all of this stuff, and they take away from the simplicity of faith in Christ. You're blessed because of Jesus and putting trust in him, period. Now, if you choose to live like an animal, this is how I view it. And I say an animal, I mean just in opposition to the Lord, an enmity against God. You're going to find yourself pulling yourself out from underneath of the blessing of God, and you might find some really not great things happening to your life, but it's not the Lord going, I'm going to curse you, or I'm not going to bless you because you're doing something wrong. That's not how this thing works. If that was the case, how did Abraham walk in the blessing? I mean, think about this. This guy was married and willing to offer his wife to somebody more than once. And the Lord says, you're blessed, Abraham. Why? It was because he believed. Faith comes, righteousness comes because of faith. But you have to realize it's not just about being in right standing. It's about being in right position with the Lord. And because we're in right position with the Lord, everything that we need is freely accessible to us. Sometimes people say, well, won't people just want to go live in sin if they don't understand it? Anybody that says to me, anybody that would ever say, oh, we could just live however we want because we're just saved by the grace of God and we've been made right and I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus and they don't care about what's going on in their life, they do not understand the power that's been given to them. Because nobody, no person in a free-thinking, real mind, if they're in their right mind, wants to stay bound in sin. Somebody who wants to stay bound in sin has got a demonic problem and they need to be delivered so that they get set free from the sin. People have access to power to free them from the grips of sin. But how can you access something that you don't believe you have access to unless you clean yourself up first? It's a ploy of the enemy to make people think that they have to clean themselves up in order to have access to God. You don't have to clean yourself up. Jesus cleaned you up for you because you couldn't clean yourself up. Somebody, I was going to say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. So it says that in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Now, this is confusing, but I'm going to explain it to you, okay? It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, this is what righteousness of by faith is speaking. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, and this is again, this is what the righteousness of faith speaks. Who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. And so what it's saying here is that righteousness by faith wouldn't say something like that because it realizes that those things have already been accomplished. Christ has already descended to the earth. He paid the price. He's ascended into heaven. But before he did that, he descended into the lower parts of the earth, or you could say the abyss, and he set the captives free. He defeated the enemy. In other words, all of the work has already been done. And righteousness by faith, when you realize you're in the position that you're in now, you won't say, I need this and this and this to happen so that I can have what I need. You'll say this and this and this has already happened, so I'm already in position right to simply walk out and receive what I need. Now, you can go and study that out a little bit more if you want on your own. That's the conclusion that I've come up with. And in context, context is king. This is talking about the fact that righteousness by faith is by faith alone, and it is apart from any works that we would ever do. And there are still people clamoring to this day saying, nope, you have to do this. Nope, you really have to do this. If you don't do this, then you're really not going to. Listen, I'm going to tell you something that's really, it's really going to make your jaw drop right now. Especially, well, for anybody that's, yeah, let me just say this. When it talks about the blessing and the curse of the law, I was just talking to somebody about this just a little bit ago. When it talks about the blessing and the curse of the law, this is found in what, Deuteronomy 28 or 8? Deuteronomy somewhere, yeah. And it's the first 14 verses. We call it the blessing of the law. And if you do these things, you'll have this. 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 And you get to, I think it's like verse 15. And it says, if you don't do this, boils will come on you. If you don't do this, you know, tumors are going to come on you. All this really bad stuff. You know, I was reading that one day and I was like, and I was reading the blessing and I thought, this is feeling really heavy right now. I thought, I have to do this if this is going to happen. And I have to do this and this is going to happen. And I have to do this and then this is going to happen. And if I want this to happen, I got to do this. And the Lord said, it's all a curse. All of it is requiring something from you for you to perform in order for blessing to come to you. That hasn't boded very well with some of my Bible scholarly kind of friends. But I believe it to be true. You know why? Because as soon as you have a yoke put on you, you're not free anymore. I mean, if I come to you and say, you know, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to show you this more from the Word. I'm going to give you something, but you have to work for it first. Did I just bless you and put you in a good position to freely give you something? No, I just put a yoke on you. It's like I'm dangling something in front of you, like, hey, if you really want this, you can have it, but you got to jump through these five hoops and you got to do this. Da, 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 da. What did I do? I just brought you underneath a bondage. I brought you under a system of works. And you say, but there's a reward at the end, and that's the blessing of the law. It's the blessing of the law. It's not the blessing that comes through faith in Christ. The blessing that comes through faith alone. You cannot mix law and grace together. If you do, according to Hebrews chapter 10, starting around verse 20-something around there, it is actually an insult to the spirit of grace. It's a slap in the face to God when people take what Jesus has done and then say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did, but I really need to work a little bit more here to show God just how holy I am, so he'll bless me. That's a works mentality, and it is not a simple faith righteousness mentality. You are righteous because of your position that you have through faith and never because of your works. Hold your place there. Let's go back and look at Romans chapter 4. Is anybody getting something out of this? All right, look here in Romans chapter 4. Oh, this is so good. Oh, I wish I could go back into Romans chapter 3. It would make even more sense. But let's start in Romans 4:1. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now listen to this. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So in other words, if you're working for the blessing of God, you're going further in debt, not becoming further out of debt. This would be like if you came and worked for me, and I've got a construction crew or something, and you came and worked for me, and you put in a good 40 hours that week. And that at the end of the week, I said, here, let's meet up and we'll settle up. And you're thinking, great, I'm going to get my paycheck. You're paying me $25 an hour. I'm going to get a nice paycheck. And instead, I hand you an invoice and say, this is going to be due next week. By the way, you got to work next week if you'd like to have another invoice. That's what this is saying here. Let's read it again. It says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Working for the Lord for blessing's sake will cause you to go further into spiritual debt. It will not cause you to come further out of it. The way that we receive and walk in the blessing of the Lord is purely by faith and nothing else. And by grace as well, because grace is the power of God. It's the ability of God. It's the provision of God. And faith is simply the way that we receive that. So whenever you see things about the grace of God, It's what he's offered us. It's what he's given us. It's what's freely bestowed upon us. It's what he's atoned for. But then faith is what's required to be able to actually receive that. Now, let's go back over to Romans chapter 10, and let's wrap this up and bring some closure to our thinking here. Sometimes it's good to just reason a little bit, isn't it? You know, I don't remember anybody reasoning through these verses when I was younger. And so I just think, I want to reason with people and help them be able to see a little bit more clearly. But if you can just take some things that I've shared tonight, and you go and you begin to read the New Testament with a little bit different filter or mindset, it will make more sense to you than it has previously. The reason, the whole purpose that Romans and Galatians were written was for exactly what I'm talking about tonight. That the works that really that man had put on for righteousness' sake, God never put works on man for righteousness' sake. That was never the point of the law. The law was given as a tutor or a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to bring us to the Lord. And how does it do that? It's been taught that it's like you keep it really well and then you find God at the end. But actually the opposite is true. It's that a person that would try to keep it really well would find that they can't do it and therefore relent and turn to the Lord and say, God, I have to have your help. That's the point of the law. It is a schoolmaster to bring you to a point of stop trying to keep the law for righteousness' sake. I have people, different people, that because I've been ministering this for so many years, and they're trying to combat me, like, we got to get them straightened out somehow. The law is still important. And it's like, just read the Bible. Just read Galatians, read Romans, read Hebrews. Study them and study them and study them. Keep reading them, and all of a sudden you'll be like, oh my gosh, the light bulb will come on. You'll be like, oh my gosh, we don't have to keep the law for God to be pleased with us anymore. But they'll send me the same scripture verse I've sent to me. And it's the one where it says that Jesus said, I don't think that I've come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. And I'm like, awesome, let's take that scripture verse right there. Perfect one to pick out and teach you exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Why? So it could be fulfilled in us, not through us. We don't have the ability to fulfill the law in and of ourselves. Jesus fulfilled the law so that we don't have to. Did I tell the trash can story here? I feel like I've told the trash can story here. Hell, let's tell it again anyways. It's a great story. A couple years ago, I told our youngest, he woke up for class. That's great. Lawson, I told him to, or asked him, whatever, to take the trash out. And in our house, the trash can doesn't get full and then taken out. It gets full, and then everybody crams so that they don't have to take it out. And it's like, oh, there's still more room in there when it's actually really full. But that actually came from my mom. My mom used to put trash bags. She used to take them out, and she would put them up on the chair and cram them full. Does anybody else do that? I look back and I was like, Mom, we could have afforded more trash bags. You didn't have to cram it full. But anyways, whatever. It was in heaven. We'll talk about it one day. Anyways. So I told Lawson to take the trash can out. And he goes over and he tries to pull it out. And he's at this point, you know, he's like 5 years old. He's like, I can't do it, Dad. I can't do it. I'm like, okay. So one of his older brothers had to be sacrificed. At least had to sacrifice a few moments of their time, all right? And they were able to go over. They were strong enough to take that trash bag out of the can, tie the knot, carry it outside, and throw it in the big garbage can. And you know that after that trash was taken out, at least that trash, that particular bag, didn't need to be taken out anymore. Why? It was already done. The older brother satisfied it. He was a done deal. My wrath had been appeased at that moment. It was taken out. But it couldn't be done anymore. Now, we've taken out other trash since then, so it's don't worry. But that particular trash bag could not have been taken out anymore because it had already been taken out. The job was fulfilled. This is exactly what Jesus did for us. He fulfilled the law so that we wouldn't have to. The righteous requirements of the law have been fulfilled through Jesus, and now we simply step in by faith, putting our trust in him, putting our trust in what he did, And now we have right standing with the Father. We are seated in a righteous position with God. And every blessing of the Lord is rightly, fully available to us. How so? Look here in verse 8, Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The way that faith righteousness works in our life after getting born again is the same way that it worked when we got born again. It says that as you have, and this is Colossians chapter 2, around verse 6 or 7. It says that after you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. So this the same way, how does it say that? I'm not saying it right. Someone help me out. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Is that what I said? Okay, I'm confident now that I know what it says because I read it. So in other words, the same way that you receive Jesus is the same way that you walk in Jesus. How did we receive salvation? How did we initially receive the Lord? By grace, through faith. That's right. It says that we were saved by grace through faith. So it's the gift that was given to us. We didn't earn it. We couldn't do anything to earn it. It was a free gift, 100% there available. All we had to do was receive it by faith. And faith, as a matter of fact, and I don't have time to get into this tonight, but faith isn't a work. Sometimes we'll say it's currency, and I kind of like that. It's like what you use to get what you need. But if we're not careful, we can get into this mindset if we have to pay for something. What we need has already been paid for. It can't be paid for anymore. It's already been fully paid for, 100%. The debt's been paid in full, and all of the blessing we will ever need. We have a super abundance of grace given to us, which means not that we have 100%, but we have 100% plus a bunch more. And the reason why that's so important is because if God said, I'm giving you 99% of the grace that you need, but you're going to have to work for that 1%. That 1% to get what you need or to really fill the thing that you need, you're going to have to work for that 1%. You know that the devil would always tell you the reason you don't have what you need is because you failed at your 1%. Even if it was 1/10 of 1%, even if it was a 1/1000 of a 1% or whatever, I'm not good at the math thing, but no matter how small you got it, the devil would always tell you, that's your problem right there. So the Lord's like, listen, not only have I given you all my grace, but I've given you a super abundant grace. It's more than enough, way more than enough. So the provision's there. He just needs us, and we just need to simply believe what he told us. And how do we do that? It's by grace, through faith, but the faith is heart believing and it's mouth confessing. Believe in your heart. Just for the sake of salvation? No, for the sake of everything that was given to us in our righteous position. Because remember the context of this? We just read from verse 1, Romans chapter 10. We read from verse 1 all the way through verse 10. What was he talking about? He was talking about righteousness, our position in Christ. So that he's saying the way that that works in our life is taking faith and believing God for what he has already given us. Because it says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be, listen to this, sozo. Sozo is a Greek word that means saved, healed, made whole, of full restoration of things. So the way that we get saved initially is that we come and we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, but the way that we sozo is we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. I believe in my heart, I am healed. I'm gonna confess it with my mouth. I believe in my heart that God has given me financial prosperity already. I'm not even gonna ask him for it. I'm going to ask him for wisdom. I'm going to ask him to show me how to steward things or whatever. But I know I'm already in a position of wealth with God, of health with God, of blessing with God. I'm not going to ask him to do something he's already given. I'm not going to ask him to bring me in a position that I'm already in. I'm simply going to come into agreement by faith, believing that and speaking it out of my mouth. And folks, that's where the blessing of the Lord begins to work in your life. And that's how you obtain a good testimony. And the truth is that Jesus has actually already obtained that good testimony for us. We just need to believe it, shut the lies of the enemy down, and just know that we are so blessed and loved and enriched by God. It's off the chain good. It's amazing good. It's heaven good.
If God is changing your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. If you would like to give or would like more information on how we are making a difference, visit overcomerschurchinternational.com.